back with you today, and we're looking forward to getting into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with us, turn with us to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 12, and we come with another direction, I thought, and as we was sitting through the Sunday school, the Lord spoke to our heart, and I really believe this is the direction He'd have us to go. You know, we could preach anywhere from the Bible, and the Word of God would not return void. It is the Word of God, and the power of God, but we desire to have the mind of the Lord for the day, and I believe this would be where He'd have us to go. I may just say a few things, may be quick, but we want to get to where we're going. I want to say this, that it is a blessing to have in Watauga County. It's a blessing to still have good godly churches and good godly people. And, you know, it seems as if in the day that we live that they're trying to silence the church and trying to silence the voice of God's people. But I'm glad that God has left us a remnant. Isaiah said, except the Lord had left us a very small remnant, we would have been likened to Sodom and to Gomorrah. And the Lord has left a remnant for Watauga County. And it is the voice of God's people, God's men, and the church. And in these last days before He comes, could be today, it's very vital that this church would stay faithful to the one that saved you, to the one that loved you, to the one that redeemed you, and the one that brought you together. But I am concerned with some things that I'm seeing. Now, I grew up here in Boone, Watauga County, and was born in the late 80s. Now, to some, that's not very long ago, but to other young ones, that's a long time ago. And we've seen a lot of change just since then in our county and in the town of Boone. Some of you go further back than that. Thankfully, I had my great-grandparents. A lot of you know Burl and Allie till I was in my 30s. And until I was 30 years old. And so I got to feed off of their life and what they saw and experienced. But I want to say this, that we've got in these mountains a godly gospel heritage. And the church today, Mount Lebanon, wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for our forefathers. Loving God and serving God wasn't just on Sunday, but they did it every day. They separated themselves from the world and from sin. And God honored that. But what I'm seeing is a generation rising up that knows nothing about the power of God. They know nothing about the Spirit of God and walking with the Spirit of God, having a Spirit-filled life. They understand nothing about the Spirit of God directing their life and giving them guidance. And I'm afraid we've allowed a lot of things into our life to quench Him and to hinder His will. Jeremiah was dealing with a rebellious nation. And this was prior to them going off into Babylon, being carried captive. But when Jeremiah prophesied of Babylon, God sending them into Babylon, it was just fables to them. They didn't believe God would do that. And when Israel was in Jeremiah's day, they was in a state of comfort, prosperity. And throughout all the land, they were just idling along. But what had happened was they had allowed the influences of Balaam and the wicked to creep into their own homes and into their own worship. And without really realizing what had taken place, I believe, and the chastening was not on the wicked. The chastening was on the people of God. The wicked, the lost, the sinner, the heathen, they're just going to do what sinners do. They're going to sin. But that's not what the people of God are to do. The people of God, Paul said, are to separate ourselves. We're to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. We're to have no fellowship with sin. We're not to walk in company with sin and wickedness. And so God's people had allowed the wicked to influence them more than their influence was upon the wicked. Now, if the church is strong, and if the church is spirit-filled and has the touch of God on them, then the church will push back the wicked. The church will push back evil. You know, there was a day when the church had the influences in the community. There was a day when the church had the greatest influences in town. And the town really functioned by the church and operated their agenda by the church, and morals and things were good at one time in our country. And what has happened is that we scratch our head and we wonder, how could such a great country come to where it is? And how could the leadership fall to the place that it's fell? It's because the influence of the church has dwindled. And people have lost their spiritual conscience and their spiritual desire and their spiritual fervency for the things of God. Now I'm telling you the truth. That's just the truth. And the Bible says that God brings kings to rise and to fall. God brings kings to rise and to fall. So don't let anything that's taking place in America today take you off guard as if God's not in control. God's very well in control. But I will say this. Just because things are taking place and wicked influences are flooding into our country and into our community, and we're surrounded by them and we're having to shield our children's eyes and ears more, or we should be. Just because all that's taking place does not mean that we cannot serve God and that this church cannot be a great shining light for the gospel for this county and for this community. Verse number 1, if you found your place, stand with us if you would please. As Jeremiah is crying out to God, pleading on the case of the people and their wickedness, Jeremiah says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" Why for? Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou, now he's talking to God, hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they, now he's talking about the wicked. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. Prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds because they said, he shall not see our last end. If thou, now he's referring to Israel here, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken mine house, I have left mine heritage, I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage, he says three times concerning his heritage in these three verses. Verse 8, mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. Now notice the last portion of verse 11. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. Thank you for standing. You be seated. Fathers, we come before you today. We thank you for the privilege to be here before your people. And God, we pray today for this church. We pray, Lord, that you'd give wisdom and direction to the leadership. Lord, for the influence of this church, to this community, to this county. Lord, to the surrounding areas. God, I pray, Lord, in these days that we could lay to heart the seriousness of sin that's so rampant among us in our country. And Lord, that we could lay to heart the seriousness of sin in our churches and among your people, in our homes, that we've let invade our homes and that we've set before our children. And God, I pray today, Lord, that we would have a sobering mind, sobering thoughts. Lord, that we would be very attentive to what the prophet Jeremiah has to say. For we know that you're the same God that chastened Israel. The Hebrew writer in chapter 12 said is the same God that chasteneth those that he loves. And you've not changed, and you've not changed your mind about sin. You've not changed your mind about sin among your people. And God, may we take to heart our condition. And if there's any here that has allowed sin into their life, they're saved. But they've went on, and they've went on without repenting, and they've went on without returning to you. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal it. Help us to be reminded of your goodness and of your grace and of your salvation and of your love toward us, and refresh and rekindle our love towards you. Now help your people today as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah is dealing with a people whom he loves. It is God's people. And it is a heritage which Jeremiah loves. When Jeremiah thinks of his heritage, he has much to be proud of, because Jeremiah comes from a heritage that honors God, a heritage that loved the Lord, a heritage that depended upon him, and that was sanctified to him, separated from the rest of the nations and the rest of the people. And he comes from a heritage that had a heart for God. But when we come to chapter 12, the people had forsaken him. Back in chapter 11, verse number 12, God said to him, verse number 11, he said, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them." He's a holy God and he's a righteous God, and his judgments are right. In verse number 12, "Then shall the cities of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble." As we've said, the problem was not the sinners. The problem, they just needed God. And still today, that's what they need. Sinners are going to sin. But the people of God are called to come out from what they've been delivered from. And we've been delivered from our sins. And Jesus has saved us. And he's washed us clean. And he's made us clean before God and righteous before God and in his sight. And he's called us to come out from among the sins we once committed. And when God saved me at 21 years old, he changed me. He gave me new direction. He took away the sins that I was in, the crowd that I was with, the places I was found in. And God gave me a new course. And he put me in the church. And now you find me in the church among God's people. And now you'll find the Word of God in my home. And that's nothing of myself. That's just what God has done for me. And the people of God in Jeremiah's day had forgot all that God had done for them. And they began to get comfortable. And they began to prosper in the land. And they began to give themselves over to the idols that they were prospering by. And they began to turn from the God who had delivered them. Now I find some words that Jeremiah speaks here that I can relate to in my own life, especially growing up here in Boone, in Watauga County and in this area. And things that I've seen take place within the course of my life, I can relate to what Jeremiah felt when he looked upon the people of God and upon the churches, and he became grieved with what he saw. And today, in and out of the churches that I go in and out of, I become grieved with the things that I see. Because I see, as I not as it was when I was just a boy, I see the generation that was spirit-filled, the generation that knew a thing or two about God, the generation that lived sanctified and separated and holy unto the Lord. As that generation's moving off of the scene, I'm afraid that we are in many cases and in many areas raising up a generation that doesn't know God, that doesn't know the things of God, that doesn't know the real move and presence and touch of God. And now, Boone, North Carolina is being overcome by a bunch of liberal churches where God's not found. They're not sticking to the Word of God, and they allow everything coming and going. They call themselves sipping saints. You can just do anything you please outside of the house of God, and you can go around and live as the world and yet come in on Sunday and hold to some form of religion. And that's not how God ordained the church, and that's not how God has separated the church and set us apart. When God saves you, I promise you, friend, there'll be a difference in your life. You'll no longer go to the bar room or to the brewery. You'll no longer turn on the ungodly music about fornication and drinking and alcohol and sex and perversion and adultery. It comes out of Nashville and it comes out of Hollywood. You'll no longer watch the things that are filled with filth. You'll keep those things from before your eyes and before your ears. And God said to abstain from all appearances of evil. Now you say, well, preacher, the Bible doesn't say not to do this and not to do that. God said abstain from all appearances of evil. If it appears evil, God said abstain from it. And that is a holy God. That is a righteous God. You say, I thought he was a God that loved us. He is. He's a God that loved us enough to save us. A God that loved us enough to give us hope. A God that loved us enough to give us peace. A God that loved us enough to give us eternal life. But he's also a holy God. And he's also a righteous God. And Peter said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And he demands holiness from his people. Now, Jeremiah said, he's grieved in verses 1 and 2. What he sees is the wicked invading the land. And he's wondering, he said in verse 1, talking to the Lord, wherefore he's grieved about the prosperity of the wicked. The wicked was growing, and it seemed like the church, or Israel, if you will. I'm not replacing the church with Israel. I'm just applying the church to Israel. But it seemed as if Israel was diminishing. Israel was fleeing and fading in their influence. And their land, Israel, that was promised to them, was now being invaded by the wicked. Does that not sound like where we're living? I'm talking about a land that was established on the principles of the Word of God. And this young generation, my generation younger than me, knows nothing about our forefathers, how they reverenced God. Sure, they was faulty, but they did reverence a holy God. Their quotes about a holy God and their reverence for the church. This nation was founded upon the principles of the Word of God, and our Constitution was established by the Word of God. And what had taken place in Israel was they was allowing the influences of the wicked to overtake them, and they were starting to partake of the wicked's influences. Well, that's what we're seeing in Boone, North Carolina. And some of these young people, it's all they've known, so they don't understand what I'm talking about. But there was a day when Boone was a good city, when Watauga County was a good county, and there are good churches, except the Lord had left us a very small remnant. I'm not saying it's all gone bad, but I am saying there was a day when Boone was a good town, when Watauga County was a good county, and now you find a bar on every corner. Nobody wants to say nothing about it. We all just want to go in and partake with them.
We want to sit down and dine beside it. We want to go in. Me and my wife's committed. No more places will we enter into that serves alcohol. We will not set that before our children's faces. We will not allow our children to see what's going on. And we will try to shelter them and keep them in the way of God and in the things of God. But I'll tell you what's happened. Every corner there's a bar now. I mean, there's pornography houses and there's ungodly places and there's places where they come together and party and just live things up. And the reason is the influence of the church in our counties and in our communities is starting to diminish. Now, Isaiah said, thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, they bring forth fruit, referring to the wickedness. You see, when the wicked, when the influences of the wicked come in, their fruits grow. And it starts to affect another generation. And a generation will see, and they see pleasure, and they see prosperity, and they see things that looks good to the eye gate. But it's a great offense to God. And that's what's taking place. And somebody's got to say something about it. We've got, and I don't know if there's any here. I hope that you're right with God if you are. But we've got county commissioners that's allowed things to slide in. Mayors, those in authority, allowed things to slide through to happen. And nobody wants to say nothing. Nobody in the church wants to stand up with a voice for God. I'm not saying about go fight, but I'm saying about standing up for the Word of God and the holiness and the righteousness of God. And there where we live at in Burnsville and Yancey County, what I'm seeing is a replay there in Burnsville. Come to love the place, love the people there in those churches. I'm starting to see a replay of what's taken place over the course of the years here in Boone. And they allowed a brewery there a few years ago in Burnsville. What happened first was they allowed the four lane to come through. And then with the four lane, they allowed bars to be established. And the county, they said it would bring in revenue. They said it would bring in prosperity and it would increase our area. That's what they pushed. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I'd rather remain with, as Moses did, I'd rather remain with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'd rather have the things meek and beggarly than to have the riches and the prosperity and the name and the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. And that's the push behind all of it. They just want more and they want more and they want more. And it's come into our towns, it's come into our communities, and it's leaked into our counties, and now it's invading our churches and our homes. Amen. Jeremiah said in verse 4, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. Jeremiah is obviously talking about the sacrifices that was used in worship of the Lord in reference to the beast and the birds. And Jeremiah is saying that the sacrifices are gone. In other words, the way we used to know it when God was among us, where is it? Where is it? Jeremiah's reflecting back to when Israel was in one with God, when they made the sacrifices unto the Lord. And I understand we're in the church now, but he's saying, where is the presence of God? He said, the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. When God promised them the land of Canaan, he said, I'll give you a land which floweth with milk and honey. And now when Jeremiah looks over the land, it's not the land that he remembered. And I'm going to tell you, friend, when we allow things, you say, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to say, preacher, how do we stop it? How do we stop when so much, there's some things I don't know if you can change now. But Isaiah said to the same crowd, when they did get carried off into Babylon, except the Lord had left us a very small remnant, we would have been likened to Sodom. The whole thing God would have wiped out. But he had a remnant. When Jeremiah saw the land, it wasn't what he remembered. You can drive down 421, 321. Some of you remember better than I do. There used to be so-and-so's business. They was a good godly shoemaker, or they was a good godly banker. They was a good godly clerk that used to be there. And now it's a tavern. It's a bar. It's some ungodly. And that's still wrong. You do believe the Bible, don't you? It's still wrong. And what's happened is exactly what happened with Jeremiah. Every time that I come through Boone, North Carolina, you say, you're just too sentimental. Well, maybe I am. But every time I come through Boone, North Carolina, I'm grieved by the things that I see. Every time I come through, it seems like some other ungodly establishment's going up. Now, he's talking to the people of God, and in verse 5, Jeremiah said this to God's people. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, the footman is the least in the army. All right? They're the least in an army. He's alluding to an army, and he's telling the people of God, if you have run with the footmen, and they've wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? If you've run with the small things and you're wearied by those, then what are you going to do when the horses come in and you're overtaken by it and you're flooded with it? What are you going to do then? He said in verse number 5, and if in the land of peace wherein thou trustedst they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? What he's saying is, if in the land of peace, referring to the whole nation, if they've troubled you throughout the nation, and they've wearied you throughout the nation, he said, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? In other words, how are you going to do when it comes close to home? Well, preacher, that's just down in Atlanta. Well, that's just down in Charlotte. Well, that's never going to happen here. That's never going to take place here. The drugs, they're not going to be rampant here. The ungodly fornication and all of these ungodly things and entering, that's not going to happen here. But Jeremiah said, what are you going to do if it's happening throughout the land? What are you going to do when it swells up in Jordan? When it's at your doorstep? When it gets close to home? And God help his people to take serious the seriousness of sin in our land and not letting it enter into our homes and into our churches. It's often been said the home is only as strong as the church is only as strong as the homes that make it up. And that's true. If you want to see Mount Lebanon go on for the glory of God, then things better be right in our homes. Amen. Things better be right in our homes, or you can mark her down on the authority of God's word. It'll be like all these other churches that just let things go and they let things fall by the wayside. That one day there'll be no more place for sanctuary for your children to come. If time goes on, the presence of God will not be felt no more. And that goes to our church, Pleasant Valley. That goes to all the churches that's left, that's remaining, that's going on for the glory of God and where God is pleased with. Verse 6, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. He's saying, even thy brethren and the house of thy father. You see, the families were coming against each other. The families were coming against each other. If you're going to do right, and if you're going to please the Lord and serve the Lord and walk with God, they might have some family rise up against you even. But he said in verse number 7, I have forsaken my house. What sad words. Jeremiah said, I have forsaken my house. And remember, he's speaking with the mind of God. He said, I have left mine heritage. I have left my heritage. I've given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. With the mind of God, Jeremiah saying, I have left my heritage. Was it because he wanted to leave it? No. Was it because he wanted to walk away from what he was once proud of? No. But he said, I've had to leave my heritage. Why? Because he said, I've given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. I mean, what we have, church, and the heritage that we have, I'm talking about a gospel heritage. It wasn't necessarily about wearing overalls and riding a mule to church and you know, doing all of those things and candlelight and a potbelly stove in the corner. I thank God for saints of God that had enough about them to get to the house of God even under those circumstances. But that's not the heritage that he's talking about. I'm talking about a Bible-believing heritage. I'm talking about a gospel heritage. I'm talking about a heritage that was handed down to us in these last days. And what are we going to do with it to carry it on? What are we going to do to further it? All those that have sacrificed even their lives, shed their blood so you could sit on a pew, so you could be in the house of God, so you could see your children saved, so I could see my children saved. Jeremiah said, I have left my heritage. In verse 8, he said, my heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Was it that he hated the people of God? No. Was it that he hated God himself? No. What he hates is what he now sees, what his heritage used to be and what it is now, because the wicked has invaded the land. He said, it's as unto me a lion in the forest. It's crying out to me. I'm reflecting back and I'm remembering back what it'll never be again. He said, my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. By that terminology, he's referring to a bird of many colors. And the writers that I've read after said, what it Jeremiah most probably means by this speckled bird is that it's unrecognizable. Doesn't even look like it used to look. I tell you what's happened. And we saw it take place 20, 25 years ago, more rampant. A lot of what happened is we sold it off. We sold off our heritage for prosperity. A generation came along and they didn't see the value of what Mama and Papa had. And they sold off the farm, bought them an acre, put them up a 4,000 square foot house. And if God's blessed you with those things, that's fine. But what I am saying, and you can't deny, is that by the selling off of our lands, it's brought other influences in. And the influences now that's come in, and we wrestle not with flesh and blood. I understand that. But I'm talking about the influences that's come in has overtaken our heritage. I thank God for people that's come and they've joined the church. They've been a part of the church and been a blessing to the church. And I'm not against that. I'm not against the people of God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about selling off our heritage to the wicked. He said, my heritage is unrecognizable. It's as a speckled bird. Verse 10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. Now, pastors, he's referring to the field land there. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. What was once a fruitful land, a fruitful place, it's now desolate. He said, they have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Verse 11, they have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. And that's what it's doing to me. It's mourning. It's crying out to me. He said, the whole land is desolate. Why? Is it desolate because of the wicked? Not necessarily. They was the instruments God used to chasten the people. Was it desolate because of their influence that contributed to it, but that wasn't the source of the problem. It was desolate, verse 11, he said, because no man layeth it to heart. No man took it serious. No man thought that it would happen to their children. God help us that it don't happen to mine. No man thought their children would get caught up. No man thought that it would be their church. No man laid it to heart. And the land mourneth and is desolate. Now you say, preacher, you've preached pretty straight to us today. You've been pretty firm on us. It's because I care enough about you to reveal something to you that I see taking place in our churches. And I care enough to say this, that Mount Lebanon, lay it to heart. Hold on to what you've got. Raise up them babies in the things of God. Keep their eye gate and their ear gate from what the wickedness is pushing. It's still possible. It's still possible. And may the Lord help us to see our children saved before it's too late. Before the world gets another generation. We can't do anything about what's happened. But we can do something today. And we can do something about our future. If we'll lay it to heart. As the piano player, as I would ask them to come, please, if you would, I appreciate coming. If they could, please. And as our heads are bowed and our